Tim, would you like to share real quickly what happened? Come on up here. Tim Vaughn is a great friend of Jeremiah, plays football in Arizona. And also, he's got a couple of other buddies here. Come on up here with me, Tim. I'm just going to have them stand. That's Keenan and Andrew. They're from Bryant University, and they're here with Jeremiah on their spring break. Stand up, guys. Big old football players. Awesome to have them here. And I don't know if you remember, we were praying for Tim a couple of weeks ago. I don't know exactly what all happened, but it wasn't good, right? It was something going on. What was it that they said they thought happened?
I had two strokes.
You had two strokes.
Yeah.
Okay. And when we heard that, we thought, boy, church, we need to pray. This is the young man that you were praying for, if you didn't know. And tell us what happened and the experience.
All right. So that week I had a stroke. I was in the hospital from Monday to that Sunday. And then that Sunday, Jeremiah showed me the video of everyone praying for me in church and wishing for me to get out of the hospital bed that day. And that day, that's when I got out. It was amazing.
And the doctors found anything? They
found something in my heart. But they and the thing they found on my heart, they say it's not there anymore.
I'm going to say that one more time so they hear you. The thing that they said they found is not there anymore. Listen to
the thing they said they found is gone. It's amazing.
So he said the thing that they said that they found in his heart, the doctor said, it's not there anymore. Isn't that awesome? We're grateful, man. All right. Thank you, Tim. Wow. Man, you guys are big. I get next to them and I feel like a frail little old man. It's awesome. Isn't it good to know that God heals? Amen. And saves, delivers. That's why we want you to get plugged into the Supernatural School of Ministry, because we're not going to teach you necessarily all the theology, doctrine, and knowledge. We're going to teach you how to activate the miraculous in your life and release you into a generation. And that's part of my message this morning. I'm so thankful. Thank you for allowing me. I mean, I really mean this, for being a part of this great church. I love it, and we are just so thrilled to be here week after week with you to see what God is doing, and I'm just encouraged because I know that God has a tremendous plan for all of our lives, and you're not here by mistake. Amen? Look over at somebody and point at them. Don't point in their face, but point at them and say, you are in the right place. Amen. You gotta believe that, church. Now, I don't know about you, but can you imagine Moses? Here he has this encounter with a burning bush, and the bush talks to him. He has this awakening of God, and here the Lord gives him an assignment. This assignment is like spectacular assignment. He told him in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 11, what I want you to do is I want you to go to the most powerful man on the earth, with the most powerful army in the earth, with the most powerful nation on the earth, and I want you to look right at his face and say, let my people go. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was given that kind of an assignment, I'd say, you know what, God, you've got the wrong fella. Well, that's exactly what Moses did say. Moses said, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Have you ever felt that an assignment from God was way beyond your ability to perform it? Sometimes getting up in the morning, I'm like, God, I can't do this. I'm not kidding you this morning. You know, I got up late, the whole clock thing, and I go to the car, and I'm getting ready to get in the car, and I'm like, oh, wow, I didn't bring my sermon with me. So I went right back down, you know, into the house and from the parking garage. And I think, oh, wow, I forgot to brush my teeth. I'm just being real, folks, okay? Martin. Yeah. So I went and brushed my teeth. And I get my coat back on, go back up to the car, sit down, start it, go to pull out and go, I forgot that sermon again. So I park the car, walk back down. And as I'm walking down, I'm like, get the sermon, get the sermon, get the sermon. You know, sometimes we feel like just getting up in the morning, I can't do this. I can't do this in my day. I don't know if I could stay. I just don't know if I can do. I stutter. I don't have the right kind of knowledge. I'm not equipped. Does anybody relate to that? Okay, 17 of you relate to that. All right. So I'm going to preach to you 17, okay? The facts are that I think all of us at times feel insignificant and we feel inadequate for whatever assignment it is. And that's how Moses felt. He said, who am I that I'm going to go to the most powerful man in the earth and look at him in the face and say, let my people go. And here's what happens. God tells Moses, it's not about who you are, who you know, or what you know. It's who is going with you. And this is something that we need to foster, cultivate, create in our life, an awareness that we do not go it alone. That God be for us. Who could be against us? And to know that no matter where we go, God is always with us. I think that's a real good place to give God a 10-second praise break right there. Come on. Hallelujah. Whoa, thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, Father. Thank you. Thank you, because sometimes in my natural, I feel like I just cannot do this. Moses later in Exodus 33 gets addicted to the presence of God. And, you know, he's about to move into another realm. And he said, wait a minute, God, I'm not going to go unless you go with me. You know, once you get the sense that God is your adequacy, God is your enablement, God is your significance, you think, you know what? I'm not going to try anything without God's favor on my life. And I just want to pronounce God's favor over you today. I pronounce the favor of God over your life, body, soul, and spirit. I pronounce the favor of God over your family, your children, and your children's children. I pronounce the favor of God of everything you put your hand to. Why? Because the presence of God is upon your life. Amen? Oh, wow. He said in verse 21 of Exodus 3, I'm going to give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Now, you know what God's favor does? It does crazy things. It really does. And God's favor is nothing more, nothing less than his presence. That's what it is. When you carry God's presence, you have his favor. He said, here's what I'm going to do. When you go out of Egypt, you're not going to go empty-handed. I'm going to prove to you how powerful my favor is. Now, it's neat to see God do miracles. It's neat to see people get healed and all those things. That's awesome. But you know what the greatest miracle is that shows God is in the situation? Is when people give up their gold, silver, and money when you ask them. No, you didn't get that. In other words, when they left as slaves, they went to the owners, knocked on the doors, and said, we want your stuff. And they said, oh, yeah, I knew you were coming. Here you go. Take it with you. That was the favor of God that enabled them to do something that apart from God would have never happened. Okay, I'm going to make another pronouncement right now. I believe in the days ahead, not too many distant days ahead, you're going to begin doing things that you'll look back and say, but for the favor of God, but for the presence of God, that would have never happened in my life. I'm believing and praying for you right now and pronouncing over you miraculous opportunities. There's going to be significant developments that are going to happen in your life, all because the favor of God, not because of who you are or what you know, but who is with you. In Jesus' name, amen? Wow. Who is with you? You know, Ruth knew something about the favor of God. She knew that there's a certain place that you could go and encounter favor. So the Bible tells us in Ruth 2, she said, let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him, in whose sight I may find favor. She knew that Boaz's field was the place to go to. Because if she came into that which is under the rulership of Boaz, it just might be that Boaz might pass by at the same time. So she went to the place of favor. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to get the favor of God on your life, you and I are going to have to go into the place of God's favor. And that is in his rulership, his ownership, his leadership. Wherever God is ruling and reigning, his favor is in that place. And Ruth determined that she was going to go to that place in order for favor to fall on her. And the Bible tells us that on purpose, there were handfuls of grain left behind because Boaz's instruction was, if she is bold and brazen enough to come to the place of favor, then begin to give her out of my hand favor that she may pick it up and glean it, because I believe she needs to be rewarded. Let me make another pronouncement. I believe that God, in not many days, is going to begin making rewards upon those that have been pursuing and are hungry and are positioning themselves in the place of God's favor. Because you realize it's not about you. You realize that it is all about God. And you are ready to foster the presence of the Lord in your life like never before. Get ready for handfuls on purpose. Amen. So in Exodus chapter 2 and verse 24 and 25, God heard the groaning of the people. You know, that's pretty powerful. God hears the groaning of the people. They were suffering. They were hurting. They were under a heavy taskmaster. And they're saying, God, can't you do something? God, why don't you do something? God, please do something. And finally, God said, you know what? I hear the groaning. And here's what I want to do. I've remembered my covenant. I've remembered it with Abraham. I've remembered it with Isaac. I remembered it with Jacob. And verse 25 is a very important verse. Please get this verse. In verse 25, God looked upon the children of Israel in their groaning, in their inadequacy, in their insufficiency, although they were crying out to God, and he acknowledged them. Would you please read that with me? And God acknowledged them. One more time. And God acknowledged them. I'm not a Hebrew scholar, but the word yada comes up in that word acknowledge. And it means God became intimate with them. Suddenly, intimacy birthed the favor of God. Intimacy birthed the favor of God. Look, I know this. There's been a season of the church where we file in and we file out. We sing songs. We do pageants. We have all kinds of programs. But you know what? We've only known God on a certain level. But God wants us to go to another level of intimacy with him. Do you believe that? I'm going to show you in Scripture that in order for God to show favor to a people that were in bondage, it required Moses to go to another level of revelation. Another level of intimacy with Jesus. Are you ready to go to another level of intimacy with Jesus? I pray, you know, another prayer of mine this morning is that you would become unsatisfied with where you are. You'd become restless with where you are. Like the Shulamite woman, you got to get up off your couch and go look for him, because you're not happy unless you are in his presence. See, I believe God's favor is part of the plan. You know, it's all about distributing the favor of God to others. When I hear of an Elena that's in surgery, or I hear of Tim Baum's situation with his heart, or if I hear about another person, you know what? My number one cry is, God, take the handfuls that you have left on purpose for me and let me distribute that to them. I know you as Jehovah Rapha. Now, God, they may not know you like that, but I'm going to take what I've got from you and I'm going to distribute it to them. Show yourself strong. Show yourself powerful in the midst of a generation. You see, that's really what Moses was going to do. He was going to tap into the favor of God so that a million or more people, some say as many as five, come out of bondage for hundreds of years and break the back of the rulership of Pharaoh. God acknowledged them, describes intimacy. God wanted to know them, and he wanted them to know him. Why? Why is it important to yada with God? Why is it important for God to yada with us? Daniel 11, verse 32. You know this scripture. Many of you do. But the people who yada their God shall be strong and carry out great what? Exploits. The people who become intimate with God and the people that allow God to become intimate with them, they will be strong and they will carry out great exploits. That word exploits is a power-packed word. It literally means this: brilliant, noble, heroic acts of war by God's people to overcome the enemies of God. Now, how many know that sickness is an enemy of God? Poverty is an enemy of God. Abuse is an enemy of God. Addiction is an enemy of God. But those that yada their God, those that will allow God to yada with them and become intimate with them, will do brilliant, heroic acts of war against every enemy of God. That's why you and I are not satisfied until we see every bondage broken. Alcoholism broken. Drug addiction broken, sexual abuse broken, sickness, cancer, go in Jesus' name. Because there's a people that are raising up in this hour who are going to do great exploits for the Lord. How many want to walk into that realm? Come on, lift your hands up with me, everybody in this room. Father, I declare and I decree over every person, Father, that we're not average Christians. We're not normal Christians. We are in a yada place. We are in an intimate place. And you are releasing your favor over this generation that we might do, God, brilliant, noble, heroic acts of war by God's people to overcome and defeat the enemies of God. In Jesus' name. And everybody shouts, amen. I'm feeling something here this morning. So the depth of our relationship with God releases favor upon other people. Releases favor upon other people. See, I believe favor is birth in your soul when there's a hunger for more of God. When there's a hunger for more of God that can only be satisfied by Him. You know what a hunger is? It's another revelation. Oh, I saw him one time coming past the throne of God where the angels encircle the throne and cry out, holy, 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 holy is the Lord. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Do you think that they're just repeating themselves like a broken record? No, no. But every time they pass by the front side, they see something they didn't see the last time and cry out, holy! And then when they go off to the side, they go, oh my gosh, I never saw that before. Holy! And when they come to the back side, they cry, holy! And then they come up to the front, they go, holy! And they cry out, holy! 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 And they have been doing it without time of measurement, because God's power, vastness, glory, and favor cannot be measured by human understanding. I'm telling you, you and I are tapping in to the very power and the favor of a mighty God who wants to reveal himself to a generation and show himself strong through great exploits of his people. Exodus 6, 2 and 3, God spoke to Moses. Here it is. He said, I am the Lord. Moses said, I know. I'm the Lord. I appeared to Abraham. I appeared to Isaac. And I appeared to Jacob. As God Almighty. Say that with me. So now watch. Open book test. He appears to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as? But he comes to Moses, and here's what he's inferring. Moses, what I've told you to do, that revelation isn't enough. As God Almighty, but by my name, Lord Jehovah, I was not known to them. So here he comes to Moses and said, you know, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they knew me as God Almighty. You knew me as God Almighty. But as Lord Jehovah, they didn't know me. It's almost like he says, do you want to? Do you want to know me as Lord? Do you want to know me as Jehovah? Now, why was it important that Moses know him as Jehovah and not just Almighty God? It's the same reason why in the church today we have filed in and filed out, because we all believe that God is Almighty. And he is Almighty. And we believe that God is. And the demons believe as well, and they tremble. But how many know that now is a call for the favor of God to be distributed to the people of God, so that you and I will go beyond just knowing God is Almighty, but that he is Jehovah Nisi when you need to be covered. He is Jehovah Rapha when you need to be healed. Come on. He is Jehovah Jireh when you got some lack and you need to be supported. God is able to meet all your needs. In other words, you've got a revelation of Jesus that goes beyond his might. Goes beyond anything I've known before. I know my God is good, and he wants to display his goodness in my life. That's why Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, Ephesians 3:19, to know, to become intimate with, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Church, we got to pass knowledge. Pass knowledge. Get into intimacy. Did you know you could be married and never be intimate? You could even have children and not be intimate. It's just an act. Do you hear what I'm talking about? In other words, you can procreate and never be intimate with that person. You know that's right. People do it all the time. People go to bed with other people because they just want to get their needs met. But they didn't get intimate with that person. They don't know that person. You know, we could come to church and we could even say we know God, but we've never gotten intimate with him. We could create churches and departments and we could write songs and we could preach great sermons, but never being intimate with him. The intimacy is what releases the favor of God on the earth. And what we need is the favor of God, so young men and young women don't die prematurely without fulfilling the purpose and the destiny of God, where we could see a nation turn back and repent for destroying 50 million babies inside of a mother's womb, where we can begin to see leaders bow their knee and confess with their mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, that we could see a region revitalized and blessing come upon the economy. I saw the other day, I said, God, it's only the beginning. In my city on the west side, there was a report that last year crime dropped by 30% in our city. I said, they ain't seen nothing yet. This city is about to see the favor of God. This city is about to see the exploits of God. Cleveland is on its way up. Because God be for you, who can be against you? I'm telling you, the rest of your life is going to be the best of your life. Say it with me, the rest of my life will be the best of my life because of the favor factor. The favor factor. A new release of exploits in our generation. Someone said this, worship is the final stage of belief. Worship is the final stage of belief. That's a powerful statement when you consider it and you understand its implications. You see, people tend to become like what they worship. We really do. We become like what we worship. And did you know that Satan hates with a passion, sold out, I mean consumed, compassionate worshipers of God? He is like, I'll let you do anything, just don't get sold out for Jesus in your worship. Just don't go to the place of favor. Just know him as Almighty. Don't get another revelation of his intimacy and his oneness with you and how he's going to meet you at the point of your need. Don't get a revelation of that. Just go to church and just know God and just give your money and just do good works. But don't get sold out. Don't become a worshiper of God. Abraham knew God as Almighty, but Moses knew him as Almighty and then discovered him as Jehovah. Father, my prayer today is that every person in this room would discover you as Jehovah. That you are a God that is able to meet every one of our needs. To know the love of Christ more and more. God, create a worshiper's heart in each one of us. Father, I released CNC and the neighboring churches in this region to become a major threat to Satan's kingdom because of the great favor release that lies within the personal discovery of who you are. God, I pray that our eyes be open and our minds be quickened and that the Holy Spirit will make us alive. So Moses goes to Pharaoh and says, you got to let these people go. He said, listen, they've been here 400 years. Yeah, you got to let them go. God said, you got to let them go. And he said, well, I don't know if I can let them go. And he shows them strong, shows them these plagues. And finally in 8:25 of Exodus, here's what Pharaoh says. He says, all right, go sacrifice to your God within the land. We often cannot get to a new place in worship until we get into a new place with God. Let me make this clear. Some of us have been so used to our worship, quote unquote, experience, and we want more of God. But you and I are only going to get a new revelation of God when we get in a new place with God. And it's time to turn up the temperature just a little bit. Did you know convenience and sacrifice cannot coexist? Pharaoh said, all right, just stay where you've been. Stay where you've been. 3 points and a poem out by noon. Not too excited, not too exuberant, not too emotional. No demonstrations of passion here, please. Keep your tambourines at home. Don't come to the altar. Don't kneel. Don't pray for anybody. Don't believe anybody to be healed because that passed away with the apostles and the prophets. Stay where you are. Good old Baptist boy. Good old Pentecostal boy. Stay where you are. But God, how many know, is calling us up the mountain? God is calling us to a higher place. Amen? That we might know Yada, Him. So he goes back and he said, listen, that's not good enough. We're not going to deal with any oxymorons here. I'm sorry, not within the land. God said, you're going to worship here at this mountain. And so verse 28 of Exodus 8, he said, okay, I'm going to let you go, but you shall not go very far away. All right, let me introduce you. I wish we could change the name of the church. I think I've changed it 100 times, but not officially. I'd like to call it Extreme Church. You ever see extreme sports where they go crazy with all these nutty ideas and call it a sport? I want to see extreme church. I want to see people jumping out of airplanes at 13,000 feet. I want to see you bungee jump over the tallest bridge, over the deepest gorge of the United States of America. I want to see you run through a troop and leap over a wall. I want to see the dead raised and the blind eyes open. I want to see the cripple walk. I want to see extreme church. Oh, no, I'm going to let you go, but you're going to sacrifice to the Lord in the wilderness. Only you shall not go very far away. Don't go that far. Don't go that far. That's what the enemy wants to do, is control how far we're willing to go with God. Exodus 10 and verse 11, he comes back and said, let my people go. He said, okay, fine, you can go, but only your men can go. Only your men can go and serve the Lord. In other words, your family is going to stay here. But oh, I remember old Joshua crying out and saying, as for me and my house, We shall serve the Lord. And we're growing up in a generation. Come on, moms and dads. No condemnation here, no guilt. But we allow our children, because they're tired and got a tummy ache on Sunday, to stay home in bed, and we'll see you after church. Make sure you do the dishes. And we're happy with that. But no. There is a people that are saying, if I go to the house of the Lord, you're going to the house of the Lord. If I'm going to worship God, you're not going to the golf course. We're going together. Together, we're going to serve the living and true God. Yesterday, I want to say thank you to all of those who came to the Slavic Village outreach. There was probably 30 or more from CNC there. We went through the streets knocking on doors. I was with a group that my granddaughter was with, and she's about 10, I don't know how old's Precious, 10, 9. And I had to slow her down. She's running to the next house. She's knocking on the door. They open the door. She goes, "Do you have any kids?" It's like, "Precious, let Papa get up there. You know, you need somebody there with you." She said, "Fill out this form and bring him at 11. We're just around the street." I'm like, wow, that's awesome. That I went canvassing. I went to the street, but I didn't go alone. My granddaughter went with me. All my grandkids would have been there if they could have been there. Then we're inside with 20 little kids sitting on the floor, a packed room where we're going to do a training on how to reach these children. And we're singing these songs that are upbeat and fun, and we're doing all the hand motions. At least we tried, us adults. We're feeling kind of stupid, you know. You can't quite get them all together. And then we got into a worship song. And there I am with 20 little kids sitting on the floor in a packed little room on East 65th Street. And the Holy Spirit hit me. And we're singing to a song with children. And I began to tear up and weep as I looked over and saw my wife sitting across the room, and my daughter over there, my other daughter there, and my son here, and my other son there, and my grandchildren here. And I said, "Devil, it's not just me who's going to serve the Lord. I'm going to take my whole family with me. We're all going to worship the living God." Amen. Because I believe God is for families. So I make this pronouncement over you right now in Jesus' name. Father, for every single woman, single man, for every family member that's been splintered where some serve the Lord and don't serve the Lord, I speak and decree and declare now, God, that every family will be made whole according to your word in Acts 16 that declares that we call upon the name of the Lord, we shall be saved and our house. So we lay claim to every member of our house to be sitting with us in church, to be worshiping with you, because we are going to be the biggest nightmare of the devil living in our neighborhood. In Jesus' name. So they're getting ready to go, and Pharaoh said, "Not." And he said, "All right, I'll show you my power again." And verse 24, Pharaoh comes back and said, "All right, fine. You want to take your family? Fine. You want all your wives and children to go? Fine. You want to take your worship to the extreme? Fine. Just leave your money at home when you go worship. Don't shout me down." The Pharaoh called to Moses and said, "Go serve the Lord. Only let your flocks, your 401ks, your savings account, your billfold, your credit card, your debit card, your extra cash, your she money." That's the money she don't know about. I got some right here. He said, "Let that all be kept back. You can have your little ones go with you. You can go to the extreme. You can do all that. Just keep your money away from the move of God." Church, I don't know about you, but I'm going to say this. You may not like me for it. But then again, I'm not trying to win a popularity contest. I know I'm going to lose every time. Here's the point. I don't believe any person who holds back their money from God is a threat to the devil. I don't care how much scripture you know, how much you can shout, how many experiences you've had with God, what kind of things you've done. If you're not a tither, you're not a giver, you're not generous with the kingdom of God, you hold back your wallet. It's like you get baptized, you say, excuse me, hold this wallet before I get under the water. I want to be sanctified, but I don't want to be that sanctified. That's exactly what the devil wants to do. He wants to hold back our worship. But you and I have got to refuse to compromise in your worship. Say this with me. Heavenly Father, I refuse to compromise in my worship. I fully expect the favor of God to be released into my life. You see, in Exodus 12:36, and the Lord had given the people favor and they plundered the Egyptians. I believe when you are a total, sold out, abandoned, passionate worshiper, God releases favor in your life where you never thought favor would come from. God begins to bless you and rearrange circumstances to promote you and increase you. I don't know how many times, hallelujah, that God has had to cause angels to push away vehicles from my vehicle and keep me safe when I should have been attacked, and given me health when I probably tried to have something in my body. I don't even know today. I wasn't about to complain. I said, God, if it was the timing where I had to go back twice to get that message in order to miss that semi-tractor trailer, praise be to God. All I know is my times are in your hands and the favor of God is upon my life. Sometimes, you know, the reality of my life hits me and I go, God, I can't do this. I'm inadequate for this. I'm insufficient, God. This is greater. There's people better than me that can do this, Father. I don't know as much as they do. I just don't have the experience. I'm unsure of myself. I don't have the confidence, God. Why are you telling me to do this? Why are you putting me here? Have you ever felt that way where you feel inadequate, you can't do it, you just can't do it? And it's interesting too, you know, you could stand up here and you could preach like I'm preaching and people think, well, like, you know, he's got all this confidence and all this ability and he's got all this experience, but you know, standing here, I feel like the most inadequate person in the entire room. I feel as though that I have an inability to do anything that I would even try or attempt to achieve. But the presence of God in my life. I know one thing. I may not know how to do a lot of things, but I know one thing. I know when God is with me and when he's not. And when God is with me, I feel like I can scale every mountain and cross every valley. I can cross every ford, every river, because I know that God is my sufficiency. The favor of God is upon my life. He opens doors that no man can shut, and he shuts the doors that he doesn't want opened. And I trust him for that in my life. I know that I can do all things through Christ. Let me try to close this message. Exodus 33, the Bible says, if your presence doesn't go with us, don't bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, you and us, from all the people around the face of the earth. In other words, God, there needs to be a distinguishing mark on my life. The distinguishing mark isn't because people know my name. The distinguishing mark isn't because I have resources or I've gained some kind of reputation or credibility. No, I've realized something in verse 17. If you could put it on the screen, I want you to catch this. And the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken. For you have found grace in my sight. Now, the last part of that verse, I'm going to have you read it in just a minute. But let me give you a little story. I was in a meeting not long ago. I'm sitting in the second row, and in front of me are two of the most recognizable powerful people in the kingdom, two of in the entire world. Brian Houston from Hillsong, who now has churches all over the world, is sitting in front of me. And to his right is Joel Osteen, the happy smiling preacher. And I'm in the second row. And I said, God, these are powerful people doing powerful things. He said, the distinguishing mark isn't what they have done. The distinguishing mark upon their life or any other life is the fact that I know their name. Well, following that meeting, I had a meeting, an encounter with Joel Osteen. And I looked at him and I said, hello, Pastor Joel. My name's Lewis Cade. And he goes, I know your name. I know you. And I walked away going, yeah, he knows me. He knows me. Yeah, Joel knows me. No, I didn't. I said, oh, I just wanted to tell you who I was in case you didn't. You know, as flattering as that might be, that some political leader might remember you at some rally and speak your name, or some celebrity might know your name. Look at this verse again with me. Because Moses is crying out to God, and God said, look, because you've spoken this thing, you found grace in my sight, because I know you by name. You and I have been to bed together. You and I have been yada. We are intimate. We are close. I know your sounds when you breathe. I yada you by name. I said, God, I don't care if anybody knows my name in this entire world. I just want you to know my name. I want to be so close to you. I want to be so intimate with you that you know me by name. And as soon as God said that to Moses, Moses said, okay, show me your glory. Moses was an addict for God's presence. We shared how Moses saw the miracles. Red Sea part, fire by night, cloud by day, plagues, the whole deal. How many think that would be the glory of God? But after all that, finger written on tablets, he says to God, show me your glory. Like, what? In other words, that was good, but I want more. And God said, all right, I'm going to hide you in the cleft of the rock. So symbolic of being in the right place. Boaz's field, be in the right place in Christ. Any man be in Christ. He's a new creature. A lot of good stuff there. But he said, I'm going to let my goodness pass by you. What's powerful about that is something happened to Moses. Do you remember? After the goodness of God passed him, his face shone bright as the sun. It's like a light went on. Bing! Moses is like, everywhere he went, it was like a laser coming out of his face. And everyone looked at everyone. They're like, ah, Moses, put a veil on your face. It was symbolic of God's intimate presence upon him. A revelation of God's goodness. And I pray this for us. A revelation of God's goodness through intimate worship will change the face of the church. From a frown, from a scowl, from judgment, from hatred, to the glory of God on our face, the goodness of the Lord on our face. And people, no matter where they've been, what they've done, no matter how poorly they feel about themselves, they come into the house of God and they see the face of God being reflected through your life and through my life. That's the kind of Christianity that I want to plug into. That's the kind of church that I want to attend. That's the kind of worshipers that God wants to raise up in the earth. He said, I'm going to make a difference between my people and your people. And if you don't go with us, he said, who will ever know that I and my people have found favor with you? And we're different. If you don't go with us, how will anybody know that we're different from anyone else? Church, we're embarking on a new season in the church where it's not about what you say that makes the difference. Not even what you do. It's who you are in intimacy with. People know that God is on your face. And you are displaying the brilliance of His presence through your life every moment. I'm finding myself in a place now that I'm just a big cry baby. I don't know, everything makes me cry. I hear a story about a person and I'm like, really? That's terrible. Oh, sorry. You play some good worship, I'm like, stop it. Stop it. Pastor Leon, you're going to make me cry. I look at my wife, I look at my children, I look at you, and I'm so moved by God's goodness, by God's favor upon our lives. How many here today want a new level of revelation of Jesus? How many here today want a new level of the favor of God? Lord, I pray right now for those that are feeling insignificant, inadequate in any area of their life. Oh, I need to pray for you right now. I so relate to that feeling. Lord, I pray for those that feel inadequate. They feel insufficient. They feel like they can't do it. God, we know we can't, but Father, with you, with you, with you. So Father, it's not who am I that I could go do this thing. It's who will go with me. And I pray right now, Father, that you would make yourself a reality in every person's life, that they will know, God, that you want to dwell with them. Now, Father, I ask this in Jesus' name. And while our heads are bowed, you're here today and you say, preacher, I don't know that God's with me. I don't know that I've been in the place of God's favor, but I want to come. I want to come to Lordship. I want to come to Jesus today. If you're here today and if you were to die today, God forbid, you know without uncertainty that you would go to heaven. Or maybe you're sitting here and honestly, come on, there's a lot of us that'll go, I don't even know what's out there after death. But the Bible says this, these things are written that you may know. And I propose to you today that if you'll come to the Lord Jesus through faith, His grace will reveal to you what you need to know about Him. And all you have to do is say, God, I don't want to just acknowledge you as Almighty. I want to know you as the Lord of my life. I want to know you as Jehovah. I want to know you as a God that's intimate with me personally. While your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, you'll say, Pastor, would you include me in this prayer as we conclude this service? I want to know Him like that. I've come to church today and I've come many times, but I have to admit I'm not in that place of favor, but I want to be. Guess what? God will receive you. Ruth was a Moabitess. She wasn't even a covenant chick. And God gave His favor on her life because she loved Him. You may have done the vilest of things to others or to yourself. You may have injected your body with things that are repulsive or others and yet feel unqualified in the presence of God. But I'm here to tell you, God's favor is being poured out upon the earth for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, and they shall be saved. You say, Pastor, pray for me. I need that prayer. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask that you don't look around because this is a personal moment. Kind of like Moses and God in the rock. Say, pray for me, Pastor. I need that prayer. On the count of three, would you lift your hand if you need that prayer? One, two, three. Thank you. Thank you, 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 thank you. Hands up all over the place. While our heads are bowed, and I know this is a long time, but you're here today as a Christian, as a believer, but you've been satisfied with knowing Him like Abraham, Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac. But like Moses, you're saying, God, I'm not satisfied with what I've known. I've got a passion to know you more. Show me your glory, God. Show me. Reveal yourself to me in a more intimate way than I've ever thought possible, Father. I'll never be the same. If that's you, just acknowledge that need before God. However you might do it, lifting a hand, maybe just praying right there at your seat, maybe just calling on the Lord and saying, God, yes, 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 that's what I need, God, yes. And there are hands everywhere because God is moving by His Spirit upon every one of our lives. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to stand. And I'm going to ask our altar ministers to come across the front and those of you that raise your hand to know God. We want to pray with you. And we're not trying to get you to join our church because that's not what this is about. It's all about you finding the place of favor with God. That's all it's about. That's what we want to do. So would you please kindly now stand, and every person that raised your hand on that first altar call who said, I need to get with God in my life, I want you to come. Come on, everybody stand. Everybody stand. The whole church. And then come and let us pray with you as we worship. Close your eyes and let's bless the Lord. Would you sing, guys? Come on.
Show me your glory, oh Lord. Me your glory, oh Lord. Show me. I lean not on my own understanding. My trust is in the hands of the Maker of heaven. I lean not on my own understanding. My trust is in the hands of the Maker.
Let us pray with you, if you don't mind, the privilege of praying. The rest of us as a church, can we pray and just worship God for a moment in this atmosphere?
Wide open, I will climb this mountain.
mountain with my head wide. Oh, I will climb this mountain with my hands. I will climb this mountain. Oh, I hold on to, there's nothing 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 I hold on.
So if you have a need of any kind, we want to pray with you. Maybe physical healing. Maybe God needs to move on your behalf in a strategic way. And you just need a prophetic word from the Lord. We want to pray and wait upon the Lord and see what God will say. The altars are open. We want to minister to you. That's really why we're here. So if you would like that prayer and need further prayer, discovery of who God is, please, before you go that way, come this way. And let's see what God will do in our lives. Amen? Because I believe that God is here for you and for me. He loves us with everything. So let's love Him back. And let's believe God for a release in the realm of the Spirit. Father, we release the prophetic word of the Lord in this place right now. We thank You, God, that You will speak through Your servants and You will impart truth into the hearts of those that are receptive and ready to hear. We declare now, God, that You will do continuous miracles, healing, signs, and wonders in this room. As we continue to worship, God, there will be an overflow of Your Spirit. So we welcome You, Holy Spirit. Please continue to work in our lives. Minister to everybody's personal need. And God, we'll give You thanks, give You praise, give You glory as we continue to worship with You. I want to remind you, Wednesday night, Pastor Troy's preaching a message on cultural revolution. Awesome word. One of the best I've heard him preach. That'll be this Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Live right, okay? Love everybody and pray hard. And we'll see you next time here at Church on the North Coast. And if I'm not here, I'll see you up there. We'll all meet on the north side. I want to say thank you to Tristan. I think I saw him. Yeah, there he is. Thank you, Tristan. Awesome job. He did the video for our school. Go online, cnclove.org, to get information and get enrolled. We want to see you in the class. God bless all of you. We love you.